We're caught in a trap. I can't walk out because I love you too much, baby.
They did not activate the crosswalk lights, so they went across dark. And I think there was an EMS vehicle that was actually en route to another call, and they actually witnessed it. So they noticed that that hadn't been activated.
Of course, that's Steven Schroberger, Commissioner for District 1, talking about this terrible accident that took place on Prairie du Quai Drive over the weekend at River Road, where two people were killed apparently by an off-duty Escambia County Sheriff's deputy driving in the area, but with the lights not activated because there was a paramedic or an ambulance there that saw this happen. And just a terrible situation. Joining us here in studio, as he always does on a Tuesday, Sheriff Chip Simmons, Escambia County Sheriff. Chip Simmons, Sheriff, of course, I wanted to give you a chance to talk about this and say whatever. I know, you know, it's being investigated at FHP. It's their case because they do crashes, not you. And of course, it's your agency, so somebody else will investigate. But still, you know, your opportunity to talk about this and tell us what you know or what you can say at this point.
Well, I mean, obviously, it's a terrible tragedy. No one wants to for this to happen. It is, as you say, being investigated by the Florida Highway Patrol. So I will simply be able to tell you that the deputy's on paid administrative leave based upon this crash investigation that the Highway Patrol is going to be taking care of. And that is going to include a complete blood screen that takes place every time. Every time that there's an employee that is involved in an accident in a county vehicle. I mean, he was driving a county vehicle, a taxpayer vehicle.
But not a marked vehicle, right?
No, not a marked car. Okay. His daily assignment was internal affairs, so okay. He was driving an unmarked vehicle.
And he was coming from the Floribama?
He was working off-duty job at the Floribama, yes.
But there was also like a crash down the road at the same time. That's where the ambulance was headed, was to the crash, right?
Yeah, after he left the Floribama, after his gig was up.
Yeah.
He left the Floribama, then he assisted with a crash that occurred down the street.
Okay.
And then the ambulance was heading to that crash as the deputy was heading back to his house.
He was working a crash. They were heading to a crash. And in the process, pedestrians crossed in front of him without the crosswalk stuff being activated. Anyway, go ahead. I interrupted you.
I can't get into it. I don't think it's good form for me to get into the details because the Florida Highway Patrol is taking care of that.
So sure.
I'm not going to get ahead of their investigation. We trust that they'll do a good job, and then we'll go from there.
Okay. And I mean, again, I know you can't really say too much, but is there any indication he was doing anything wrong? Any indication that, you know, because people see it as a sheriff's deputy and they think, well, this shouldn't happen. And I think, well, pedestrians in the dark and crossing a road. I mean,
yeah. Again,
and if you can't say anything, it's fine.
Yeah. If I comment too much, it'll be about the investigation itself. I think once the Highway Patrol completes their investigation, then I'll obviously readdress it. But I think before they complete it, it's not a good thing for me to
fair enough
my comments yet.
Let's go back a little bit in history because it's been 2 weeks since you and I talked. Of course, I was off last week. One of the stories from about maybe 2 weeks ago or so was at the Hotel Del Sol, where a guy got, I guess, honeypotted, seduced in to meet a woman, and then he got kidnapped and armed robbery basically from three guys who jumped out of him at the hotel room. Is that right?
Yeah, basically that's what happened. He was there to meet an individual that he had arranged to meet for a sexual encounter. And then when he got inside, I think three, four males entered the room and beat him up and took his keys and his wallet and stole everything they could from him. We're investigating. We do have some suspects that we're looking into, and obviously once we get to the bottom of it, we'll make the arrest.
Man, that's just, I mean, you know, scary stuff. 28-year-old resident from Chandler, Arizona, was here in town, and apparently, allegedly, was drunk and ran into one of your deputy's vehicles, and you chased him and caught him. And
yeah, we were on the side of the road doing an investigation. Car comes up and hits our deputy, our marked cruiser car,
with lights on.
I believe it had lights on, and then takes off, and then we found him right down the street and ended up arresting him for DUI.
I always think about, you know, when you guys have somebody pulled over, how, you know, you're out there walking close to traffic. I mean, it's, and you see some of these videos from
yeah.
horrible, terrible things that happen, and I you adopt all kinds of strategies, you know, parking at an angle, you know, if somebody runs
into
your
car.
Well, they
teach you that, where to park and how to angle your car.
But there's, I mean, there's still, you know, some drunk driver runs into you while you're, I mean, you have the lights on. How do you just, crazy, but okay.
Yeah, like you said, you've seen a lot of these videos where, like on the highway, and we talked about FHP, but they do a lot of traffic stops, obviously on the interstate. And you got to be very careful with that because a lot of times they're not very far off the roadway and the speed limits are 70.
And you have to move. The law is to move over,
Or reduce your speed 20 under the speed limit if you can't move over. But yeah, you should obviously move over. And even if you move over, you still should slow down.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. You had a case. This is getting a little bit closer in time. I think this was on the 2nd. You had and this had kind of made a bunch of news over the last couple of days anyway, was a woman who attacked one of the employees at the Metro PCS with a knife.
Yeah, there was a disturbance inside that Metro PCS. I think there were three or four individuals that were there, and then they had an encounter with the employee that led to the disturbance moving outside of the store. And at one point, one of the females took a knife and stabbed the employee in the face. We ended up arresting that lady and one other lady for the incident. So there were two arrests made. Obviously, you stab someone in the face, you're trying to kill them.
Yeah.
To me. And the lady's just trying to do her job. You know, she's working at the store. And again, I don't know the details of what the argument was about. It doesn't really matter. You don't get to stab someone in the face.
You also just had this, I mean, again, horrible story of, I guess it was the son got into an argument with his dad over the TV or something and winds up killing him.
Yeah, actually, it was the uncle.
Uncle, okay.
A man shot and killed his uncle in a, I guess, domestic type of a quarrel, something about the television, and then obviously escalated. The reason that it was mistakenly put out as a son shot his father is because the caller called and said that her grandson had shot her son.
Okay.
And so it's
so
obviously
that was
still
the first
uncle
round
the
pass
father.
At the information.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's where that originally came out of. But yeah, that we talk a lot about find somewhere else to go, and apparently at one point he did, and then came back.
Oh.
So again, these are some things that the investigation, whenever our deputies get there, we look at it and did not determine it to be self-defense, and obviously he was arrested.
I wanted to talk about some of the other things that are sort of the not crimes things, but are still very important. ShotSpotter got vetoed. Is that right?
That's right.
This is an Andrade. This is an Alex Andrade bill. Ran this bill.
He did.
Okay.
He did. All right. And again, for people that are listening, we originally got the ShotSpotter program. 2 square miles in the county, 1 square mile in the city, and we applied for it on behalf of both agencies. And we got the appropriation the first time.
I had mistakenly thought that it was 3 square miles in the county and 3 square miles in the city, so it was 6 altogether.
No.
It was 2 and 1 for 3 total. Okay, thank you. I had that wrong in my head.
And I believe we both used heat maps to determine what the best location was. So for the last couple of years, we've had the ShotSpotter program attached to a real-time crime center.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually just a small part of the real-time crime center, but it's something that was beneficial to have. So we asked for it again, but politics being what they are, decisions were made, and so this next appropriation was nixed, which means that we will, whenever their current contract expires, we will no longer have the ShotSpotter program. Now, we still have the cameras. We're still going to have the real-time crime center. We're still going to have a lot of things that we already have, but the ShotSpotter program itself, because we do not have the funding, the $300,000+, because as you know, most of our budget, the overwhelming majority of our budget is people.
Right.
You know, it's always a personnel thing. So we want to get as many deputies on the streets as we possibly can. So bottom line is, and I'm not getting into petty politics, I'm just, it is what it is. The decision was made and we're going to move forward.
Did the governor's office call you, tell you, warn you, anything?
No.
Okay. And I know $300,000 is a lot, but I don't really know what the foundation budget is, but it sounds like there's not enough money there to cover it, or there's, you know.
It's certainly not recurring costs like that.
Okay.
The foundation has two purposes, and that's the engagement, and it's also the wellness of the employees. So that really wouldn't fit into the foundation.
We have Blue Angels coming up. Obviously, it's a big weekend for the community, big weekend for the economy, big weekend for law enforcement. anything we need to know, any plans you guys are going to tell us at 5 a.m. on Friday and Saturday? The lot's closed.
Probably. I mean,
just go ahead and put it out now. 5 a.m. is closed.
There was a lot of people. There were some complaints about traffic and not being able to get off of the beach during the 4th of July.
Yeah.
All I can tell you is if you have a hard time getting on to the island, to the relatively small island, you're probably going to have a hard time getting off of the island.
Slow down. You want to wait. Slow down now. Say this again, because that's a little complicated for me. Say this again.
Yeah, you would think it would be so complicated, but if you're waiting on the bridge to get into this island,
okay, so I'm waiting.
And you have a hard time finding a place to park.
It's hard to get in. Second part.
It's going to be hard to find a place to park.
Yeah.
And it's going to be hard to get out quickly.
Okay, all right. I'm just processing a little bit, yeah.
Blew your mind, didn't I?
Especially given that the show ends at a time and people arrive over time for the beginning. I mean, over a course of an hour, and they all try to leave at the same time. So, okay.
Yeah. You figure that people get there over the course of 6 hours or so,
yeah,
and then everyone wants to leave in 15 minutes after it's over. Now, again, it's a great opportunity for people to see the Blue Angels and the environment and beach setting and all that sort of thing. So we understand a lot of people are going to want to be there. We just be patient.
Yeah. No, good advice. Is there very much crime at the air show?
You know, I mean, like, because I was consider the number of people that are there, yeah, I would say no. I mean, again, we have some people overindulge.
Sure.
And some people get with the heat, their tempers flare a bit.
Drunk, hot people get smarter, we know, right?
Yeah. And people get more patient. The horns start working a little bit longer and a little harder. But really, for the number of people that are out there, mostly it's a well behaved family environment.
Yeah. And I just know in crowds, there's always concerns, mm-hmm, you know, and obviously, we live in an environment where we have heightened awareness to malicious actors, and I didn't know if you guys are doing anything particular different this year or anything people ought to be prepared for, you know?
No, I wouldn't say we're doing anything different. We're obviously aware of some of the concerns and that people might have throughout the world, really. And for years now, we have been working with all of our law enforcement partners. We talked a lot about FHP and the was it Marine Patrol and the Coast Guard and the FBI, we are sharing information, and anyone that, I'm not saying you can, but there's a Escambia County is a big command post. I think they call it Thor. Well, everyone is sitting in this one big room, and so there's communication amongst agencies, which you would hope, you know, takes place. So we're going to have a number of deputies out there. The Island Authority does a really good job of coordinating with us, and we say, hey, we're going to have, you know, 80 deputies or 60
80,
deputies.
Wow.
And I don't know the exact
out
number
of an agency
right
of 450
about four. Yeah. About 450.
Okay.
Almost 450.
So 20% of your deputies are going to be working that day at the beach.
It's Yeah.
Wow.
It's gonna be pretty close to that. And again, that's just the
sheriff's
office.
In uniform and not in uniform, right?
Most of those are in uniform.
Okay.
We only have just a few because we want as much presence,
visibility
as we possibly can out there.
Just a quick question. Cause it caught my attention the other day. One of your, it's got a solar panel and a bottom truck and then an array of cameras at the top. I don't remember what you call it.
Yeah, we just call it a portable camera platform.
Okay, there was one at Davis and the McDonald's right across the street at the Mexican restaurant going into the Grocery Advantage there. I forget the name of that street at that light. Was there a reason? I was just curious. I'd never seen it there before. I saw it there yesterday.
Typically, there are reasons. Usually, we'll have situations where people are doing a lot of criminal mischief around something or there's some car burglaries. The people that are worried about immigration, it wasn't there to document anyone or anything like that. But I don't know the exact details on what that thing's placed for. We have a number of those cameras. We put a lot of our resources. We talked about resources earlier. We put our money into these cameras so that we can. We'll have a lot of them at the beach. In fact, they're probably getting ready to get them at the beach probably on, Thursday.
Probably deploy most of them to the beach, right? Just with the crowd
and
the usefulness.
Well, that's what they're for. They're for large crowds so that we can make sure that we have get a handle on what's going on.
You ever put horseback at the beach? Has that ever happened?
Has it ever happened? Probably in the past. It's not happened.
Just makes me think of that. I think it'd be interesting to see horses tromping around.
If it's hot for us, it's probably hot for the horses.
I would think
so.
So probably not.
Yeah, probably not.
Just checking. I have weird ideas.
They walk around with coats all the time.
Sheriff Chip Simmons. It's Escambia Sheriff Chip Simmons, as always, sir. Thank you so much for the time. Have a great weekend this coming up weekend, and we'll talk to you next week.
You bet. Y'all take care.